Well, my name is Jason Cullum. I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and happy Easter. We're so glad that you're here with us today. And I don't know about you, but for me growing up, there were two parts to Easter. And maybe you can relate to this. There was the get to part of Easter, and then there was the have to part of Easter. You see, the get to part of Easter, that was all about the candy and the fun and the chocolate. And the have to, well, that was all about church, right? And so maybe you can relate to this, man. To get to was the fun stuff. It was the chocolate. Anybody in here like the chocolate? Oh, yeah. Now you're awake. All right, good. Now I'm making you hungry for lunch, right? Well, I brought some Easter candy with me. I thought I'd do a quick poll and figure out what your favorite Easter candy is. And so I got a couple things in here. Let's see. Oh, here we go. We've got the Cadbury Easter egg. Some of you guys like, I don't know why you like this stuff, all right? I mean, what's inside of that? I don't know. It just looks gross to me, all right? And I don't know if you've ever done this before. I mean, maybe you have a filling. And have you ever, like, not gotten all the wrapper off of this and bit into it? You talk about a resurrection. Holy cow. You're like wide awake then, right? I mean, Cadbury, anybody like the Cadbury eggs? I mean, you like Cadbury eggs? All right, good, good. All right, here's another one. This has been a crowd favorite. The Reese's peanut butter egg. That has been the favorite all weekend long right there. And I don't understand. We can get these 365 days a year, can't we? But for some reason, that it's shaped like an egg, man. That makes it so much better. Anybody like these? Anybody like these? You got, come here. Now, come on. It's last service, so I'm going to give some candy away, all right? Here we go, guys. There you go. That'll keep there. Hey, there you go. All right. Now, here's another one. Maybe this is a favorite. How about this one? This is a peep. You guys like the peeps? Seriously, you like peeps? I mean, have you ever left one of these outside for a couple days? It turns to concrete. It's like yard art, all right? And just imagine what that's doing in your belly, all right? That cannot be good for the digestive system. And then here's another one, the chocolate Easter bunny, the classic. You guys like the chocolate Easter bunny? Yeah, we like the chocolate, the milk chocolate. It's good stuff. In fact, I went and found a big one. Check that out. 2 feet of milk chocolate right there. But maybe you had an experience like I had as a kid that you bit into your chocolate Easter bunny and you discovered something. It was hollow, right? Like, man, they cheated me out of chocolate. That's what you're thinking. But I love the get-to part of Easter. And after service, I'll give the rest of this away, all right? You know, fight the band for it. They've been fighting all weekend. But there was the get-to part of Easter that I loved. I mean, it was the fun stuff. It was the dyeing Easter eggs. It was hunting for Easter eggs. It was the jelly beans. It was the chocolate. It was hanging out with family. But then there was the have-to part, and that was going to church. And so what my mom would do, she would bribe me. My mom would bribe me, because what my mom would do every Easter, she dressed me up in these ridiculous outfits. Your moms, you do that, don't you? Hey, I brought some pictures. I'm not just telling a story, all right? Look. Not only did she give me a bowl cut that I'll never forgive her for, all right, almost all my childhood, but who puts their kid in pants like this, all right? I mean, that's crazy. And it's gator colors that makes it even worse, But so my mom would dress me up in these ridiculous outfits and we'd get in the car and then she would say this to me, and maybe some of your moms, maybe you said the same thing on the way to church today. She'd say, listen up, young man. She'd say that. She'd say, listen up. If you don't behave in church, then no candy for you after church. And so you see, the threat of no candy is what hung over my head every year going to church. And so I love the get-to part, and I wanted to toe the line. I wanted to stay in line so I get the candy. And so we go to my grandma's church every year on Easter. And grandma's church had those pews with no pads, where if you run, you could slide across on your butt all the way across. And it had a choir and an organ, which I just kind of sung along. And then a guy in a robe, I didn't understand a word he was saying. And my grandpa would try to keep me in line. He'd like slip me a tic-tac, you know, hey, stay quiet for a few more minutes. Because I wanted to toe the line. I was in it to win it. I wanted that candy after church. And so I was going to do my best to behave, because I love the get-to part of Easter. It was the candy. I didn't like so much the have-to part. And maybe some of you can relate to that today. Maybe some, I'm not talking to you elementary kids, because there's some of you 50-year-olds that got to talk today on the way to church. If you don't behave in church today, no candy for you after church. But here's the deal for me. The older I got, candy became less and less important. But here's the truth. I mean, Easter still was a bit of a mystery to me. You know, I love the story of Jesus, but I had my questions and I had some doubts about this whole resurrection thing. And I wanted to believe. I wanted to believe in God and be on God's team and understand all this, but I had some concerns. I mean, I had some legitimate questions and a few doubts. I mean, just looked around the world and I saw all the messiness of the world we live in. I mean, flip on the news and see the pain and the heartache and suffering and violence. I mean, look at the Christians, and these are people that are supposed to love each other, but their message is sometimes more about hate than it is about love. And so I had some concerns. I had some questions. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe for you, your Easter experience has been more about the have to and of going to church than the get to of going to church. And that's okay. I understand that. Maybe you're a place where you got some questions and some doubts about God and Jesus and the resurrection. And maybe in your life, you're trying to put those things together. Maybe you're just trying to figure that out. And I get that. But let me encourage you. For me, it took some time. It took some time for me to see that expressing my faith and celebrating faith was not something that I had to do. It's something that I got to do. And for me then, Easter became so much more than about candy. It became about faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith is what I began to celebrate. And that faith is what began to change my life and mold my life. That faith is what helped me deal with a relationship issue with my estranged dad. That faith is what would help me figure out my purpose and my mission and give me vision for my life. That faith is what helped build a bedrock of a foundation for my life. And I didn't walk around like I'm better than everybody else. I didn't walk around like I had all the answers. No, I'm just a fellow struggler who knows the one who does have all the answers. And so I've dedicated my life to helping people know that love, know Jesus, and experiencing in Jesus the same love that I've experienced in Jesus. And so today on this Easter Sunday, what I want to do is dive into Scripture, dive into the Word of God, and look at that Easter story. And my hope is by the end of this service that maybe I will pull some of you from the have-to part of the story to the get-to part of the Easter story. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 24. If you have your Bibles, love for you to open there with me. Your devices, you can power those bad boys up right now. Of course, the words are going to be on the screen. Well, let me give you a little background, kind of where we are, set to kind of stage here. We've been in a series called Uphill, where we began this journey in the upper room, and we're finishing today in the empty tomb. And we started with Jesus in the upper room, where he was in a place of bonding with his brothers, his disciples. Place of encouragement. Then he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a place of crushing where Jesus felt this overwhelming weight in his life about what he was about to go through. And he went to the garden to pray. And then he went and he visited Pilate. And he was taken to Pilate, where Pilate had some serious decisions to make about what to do with Jesus. And then, of course, on Friday, we went to the cross, the place of the cross, the place of death, where Jesus was crucified. And so that's kind of where we pick up our story today. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has been taken off the cross. And he's been put in a tomb. He's been buried there. The stone was rolled over the tomb. A Roman guard was posted there to make sure nobody was going to mess with the body. And disciples, they've had a tough couple days. I mean, they thought all hope was gone. They thought their Savior was gone. They thought the story was over. Because you see, the reality is nobody could conceive. Nobody could comprehend what was about to happen. And so let's pick up the story here, Luke chapter 24, verse 1, and here is what it says. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. Now understand, that was just a Jewish standard burial practice. That is just what they typically would do. And so they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. But I love in the Bible when angels show up. I mean, it's always encouraging to me when these angels show up. They never show up like in Hallmark cards with a halo and wings, right? They show up like men. It says, the women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. I mean, that's the Easter story. And there's so much to this story. And first of all, I love the fact here that Luke mentions, and this is odd because in that culture, it would have been odd for Luke to mention that it was women who actually went to the empty tomb. It was women who found the empty tomb. You see, a woman's place in the ancient world is much different than a woman's place in the modern world. And so many historians and many scholars would say simply because the fact he mentioned it was women who found the empty tomb leads credence that this story is legitimate, that it's true. Because if you're going to make up a story about the empty tomb, about Jesus rising from the dead, you would never say that women were the ones that found him. You would say it was men. Men went. Men investigated. But that's not what Luke says. Luke says it was the women who went and showed up. It was the women who walked in. It was the women who investigated. And so when they discovered the tomb was empty, they then go back and tell the rest of the disciples. You know, to me, it's amazing. We read this story, and 2,000 years later, this carpenter from this obscure town, from this obscure place in the world, has changed the world, impacted the world the way Jesus has. Literally today, there are going to be traffic jams in Rio de Janeiro. There are going to be traffic jams in Seoul, South Korea. All over Europe, there are going to be traffic jams. Jesus literally split time in two. From BC, before Christ, to AD, Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. Literally billions of people today are gathering together across this planet celebrating this carpenter from this little town. Why? Because he's not dead. He is alive. And so we get to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We get to experience that in our lives, and we can move the have-to part of Easter to the get-to part of Easter by experiencing several different things. And the first thing I think we get to experience every Easter is this. We get to experience a new life. We get to experience a new life. Now, a lot of us, if you're like me, that is, we're really good at adjusting to our problems rather than actually dealing with our problems. A couple of head nods there. We're really good at adjusting to our problems, aren't we? Instead of actually dealing with our problems. In college, I had a job. I worked for the maintenance department at my college. And my job was to go around to all the buildings to make sure there were cleaning supplies in every single building. So I had a master key to every building, to every room on campus. Now, in my dorm, I lived in this pod. It was eight guys that shared a common, you know, living room and a bathroom and a little kitchenette. But in that pod, our furniture was miserable. It was like waiting room furniture at a dentist office, all right? It was not comfortable at all. And so one day I'm doing my rounds and I stumble upon an old couch. And so I go and I tell my roommates, hey, we need to go get this couch. And so we walk across campus and there we are carrying this couch over our heads all across campus, all right? And we take it, we put it in our dorm room. And of course, there's eight guys living in a dorm room. There's only three people fit on the couch. And so every time we wanted to sit on the couch, a fight ensued, all right? We're gonna wrestle, we're gonna argue over who gets the spot on the couch. And we were doing that one day, and guess what? Snap! We broke one of the legs. Like, oh no, we're like all rolling off the couch, you know? That's no fun. You can't sit on the couch with a broken leg. And so we're going, okay, how can we fix this? Well, we got some school books and slid it under there, all right? We're not gonna use those. We're just using to prop up the couch, you know? And so evidently that made the rest of the legs vulnerable. And so another day or so, snap. We broke another one. So we got a block of wood and stuck that up underneath one leg and broke another leg and then broke another leg. And what we kept doing is just adjusting and adjusting and adjusting, never solving the problem. The only thing we didn't want to do is roll off the couch. See, here's the truth in our lives. A lot of us just do that, don't we? We just continue to adjust to the problem. We just carry our pain. We just carry our hurt with us. Maybe the pain and hurt of what someone has said to you or a label that somebody has put on you. Or maybe something that didn't work out. Maybe it was a relationship that failed or a family you couldn't hold together. Maybe it was some bitterness that you're carrying. Bitterness and heartache at a friendship that busted up. Or maybe anger at a boss who treated you poorly. Or maybe it's someone who didn't treat you with the love and respect like you thought you deserved. And so instead of dealing with it, you just continue to just carry it along. Just carry it along. And then what ends up happening is you end up developing some other things, a secondary issue. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's just something that's dangerous to you. You see what the Bible says that is? The Bible says that heavy stuff that we carry, it's called sin. It's called sin. It's when we miss the mark of God. It's when we come up short of God's plan and purpose for our lives. And the Bible says that we all carry this heavy stuff in our lives, and it is called sin. But the good news I've learned about Easter is the fact that because Jesus is not dead, he's alive, he resurrected, that means he gives me a new life. And not just a better life, not just a little bit improved life. Jesus doesn't prop my life up with a book or a piece of wood. No, what Jesus promises to me is that I get a whole new couch. That's what he promises. In fact, I love what Paul writes over in the book of 2 Corinthians. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, and listen, anyone means anyone. We're talking soccer mom, we're talking math teacher, someone who's in sales, even if you're struggling with an addiction, if you're from a broken family, if you're from a put-together family, if you have no money, if you have a lot of money, if you're a Gator fan, a Seminole fan, a Bulldog fan, a Jag fan, maybe not a Steeler fan. No. Anyone means anyone. And he goes on to say, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. And not just an improved person, not just a little better, but a completely new person. And he says, the old life, it's gone. And what's the old life? It's the hurts, it's the habits, it's the hangups, it's the pain, it's the mistakes, it's the failure. That stuff is gone. It is ancient history. And what comes in place? A new life. A new life has begun, and it's a new life that is filled with forgiveness. See, the Bible says that Jesus lived this perfect life. And he died a sacrificial death on the cross so that you and I, through faith, could have our sins cleansed, our sins forgiven. And then the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in our lives and give us purpose. You see, we are on a mission. We are on a mission from God, just like the Blues Brothers, all right? We're on a mission from God, and that mission is to love him and to love others. And you see, when you get that, you understand that, that changes your perspective on everything. You see, when you become a person of faith, your sin no longer defines you. When you become a person of faith, your past no longer limits your future potential. When you become a person of faith, no matter how big your challenge is, no matter how daunting it is, no matter how hard it is, our God is bigger than that. Our God is bigger, our God is stronger, our God is mightier than any problem you might face in your life. And you're not the sum total of what everyone says about you. You are God's child, not what everyone else says. And your flaws, they're not fatal. And you get to live your life with meaning and purpose and with vision. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you get empowered. You get freedom. You get grace. And you get to live with him and work with him and serve him and do life with him. And he'll watch you. He'll watch your front. He'll watch your back. He'll go before you. He'll come behind you. He will use you. He will use your life for his purposes. That's who he is. But does that mean that your life is going to be perfect? Does that mean you're never going to have a problem? Does that mean you're not going to experience pain? No. You will. We all will. But here's the promise you can hold on to. You will never, ever face it alone. He will be there with you. And so I've learned about Easter that I get to celebrate my faith in Jesus Christ, that because he is not dead, he is alive. Because he resurrected, I get to celebrate new life. It's not something I have to celebrate once a year. It's something I can celebrate not just once a year, but every single day of my life. That's what Easter is about, that I get this new life because Jesus is alive. Now, there's a second thing I think that we all get to experience because of Easter. And here it is. We all get to live in new hope. We get to live with new hope. You know, you can tell a whole lot about people by their to-do list. I don't know if you guys are to-do list people. Some of you, I know you're type A's and you like your to-do list. Well, I found a couple kids' to-do lists. And let's start out. I got one right here. I think my kid may have done this one. To-do list, number one, get $100. Number two, find a servant. Number three, do nothing. I got teenagers, and I think that's definitely one of my kids right there. Here's another one. I love this, the second one. What are three things you want to do in the future? Number one, get a girlfriend. Good one, right? That's a good one to have. Number two, kiss her. I mean, that's a middle school boy probably. And number three, rule the world. Here's a funny one. One more here. This is, what do you want to do when you grow up? Well, I want to be Michael Jordan when I grow up. Well, what do you have to do to be that person? Number one, get bigger. Number two, shave my head. Number three, be black. Oh, man. We all have hopes, don't we? We all have lots of hopes and we all have lots of dreams. But have you ever noticed how sometimes those hopes and dreams bump up against the reality of life? That we hoped that our family would turn out differently. We hoped that our career would turn out differently. We hoped that these relationships would be different. We hoped that our bank account would be bigger. I mean, the reality is sometimes our hopes and dreams bump up against the realities of life. Have you ever seen this bumper sticker? I love this one. It simply says this: I used to have a handle on life, but it broke. Right, amen, I understand that, right? But here's the truth. We have hope through Jesus Christ, and no matter what we face in life, he is gonna be there with us. And this is what I love about the New Testament. The word hope is used 71 times in the New Testament. But get this, 70 out of the 71 times it is used is after Jesus rises from the dead. 70 times after Jesus' resurrection, the word hope is used, telling you, telling me that we have hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as we jump into our story again, the ladies, they come back and they've seen the empty tomb. And they come back and they tell the rest of the disciples, hey, it's empty. And they're like, you're crazy, ladies. There's no way. Listen to what it says in verse 11. It says, but the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. Ladies, you're like, yeah, I've been there before, right? Those men, they never believe a word we say. But can you blame them? I mean, even 2,000 years later, this story still sounds a bit crazy. And it goes on, however, Peter, of course it's Peter, jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. So Peter goes in and checks it out with his very own eyes. He walks in and he examines the evidence, and then he walks home wondering, could this be true? And you see, the thing that's really interesting to me about Peter is, according to church history, that Peter gave his life for his belief. Now, people are willing to die for what they believe in, but very few people are willing to die if what they believe in is a lie. But Peter died. He gave his life. He walked in with his very own eyes. He looked in and inspected the evidence and saw that Jesus was not dead. And what we learn from church history is that Peter was crucified, but he refused to be crucified like Jesus, right side up. And so Peter literally was crucified upside down. He gave his life. Why? Because he inspected. He looked in, he investigated, and he saw that Jesus was not dead, but that Jesus was alive, and he put his faith in him. And when he put his faith and his belief in Jesus, it was rock solid, it was absolute, and it was resolute. And literally is what he built his life on until the day he died. You know, this story reminds me of our good friend Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel's been to church here a couple times, got to know Lee pretty well, and his story is incredible. Lee is a guy who was a lifelong atheist. He was a Yale-educated attorney, was a prize-winning investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and one day his wife walked in the house and announced that she had given her life to Jesus Christ. And Lee said it was like the worst day of his life. He's like, are you kidding me? I mean, you believe that garbage? You believe that mumbo-jumbo? He said, you know, I thought it was gonna ruin my life. It was gonna ruin my marriage. And so he set out to disprove Christianity. He set out to disprove the fact that Jesus really did rise from the dead. And Lee said he spent over 600 days, thousands of hours investigating the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And listen to what he said in the end. Here's what he writes. By November 8th, my legend thesis had thoroughly been dismantled. And what's more is my journalistic skepticism toward the supernatural had melted in light of the breathtaking historical evidence that the resurrection of Jesus was a real historical event. In fact, my mind couldn't conjure up a single explanation that fit the evidence of history nearly as well as the conclusion that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the one and only Son of God. The atheism I had embraced for so long buckled under the weight of historical truth. It was a stunning and radical outcome. Certainly not what I anticipated when I embarked on this investigative process, but it was my opinion compelled by the facts. By the facts. And so maybe you're here today and maybe you got a bit of a struggle with Easter and with God and Jesus and this whole resurrection thing. You've got a few doubts. I want you to know that your doubts are welcome here. Your doubts are welcome here, and we love to walk with you on that journey. We love to help answer as many questions as we can. We don't have all the answers, but we love to walk with you as you go on that journey to figure out those doubts. But let me just challenge you one way. Maybe, just maybe, doubt your doubts, and maybe just put a little faith that Jesus might be just who he says he is. Listen, you've got nothing to lose, but everything to gain. And the truth of the matter is, none of us are getting any younger. Amen? And we're not getting any younger, are we? I mean, Brian Regan, one of my favorite comedians, he does this bit about going to the doctor, and he says, "Doc, my hip's hurting." The doc responds, "Yep, it's gonna do that from now on." I mean, that's the reality about getting old, right? And have any of you had this experience yet? Where you go to the doctor, maybe it's a dentist, optometrist, or doctor, and you walk in there, and the doctor comes in, and they're half your age. I mean, I'm not that old, all right? I'm like 42, okay? I mean, the other day, I was at the doctor's office, and this kid walked in. I'm going, "Did your mom drop you off? I mean, did she pack your lunch? I mean, do you have a license yet?" I mean, it's like Doogie Howser. I'm like, "Are you kidding me, you know?" And then he starts in with the whole Mr. Cullum thing. Mr. Cullum this, and I'm like, whoa, slow your roll, man. I am not Mr. Cullum, all right? My name is Jason. He's like, "All right, Jason, because of your age, you qualify for this, and you qualify for this," because I'm like, no, because of your age, qualify talk here, all right? I've got one issue. I came to talk to you about this one issue, and I told him what my issue was, and you know what he said to me? "Well, that just happens to somebody your age." I'm like, "That is not what I'm looking for, and how would you know? You know, you're not even anywhere near that age." The truth of the matter is none of us are getting any younger. And so maybe today is a day where we can make this decision, where we can settle what we believe about Jesus. Because the truth of the matter is, believing in Jesus, putting your faith in Jesus, will give you hope for your life, will give you hope for this life and the life to come. And it will also give you hope that one day you will meet those that you love who've already gone to heaven. In fact, I love the encouraging words that Jesus shared with Martha after her brother Lazarus had died. Listen to what he says in John 11. Jesus told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying." And so what's the qualification there? The qualification for having eternal is believing. He says it's believing. And he goes on to say, "Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever, ever die." And then he asks the Easter question. He says, "Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this?" You see, that's the Easter question. And eternity hangs in the balance on how you answer that question. Do you believe this, Rick? Do you believe this, Carol? Do you believe this, Sue? Don, do you believe this? Listen, nobody else can make that decision for you. Only you can make that decision. Your parents can't make that decision. Your friends can't make that decision. Your neighbors can't make that decision. The person sitting next to you can't make that decision. I can't make that decision for you. Only you can make that decision. Do you believe this? You know, this week was another big week for Apple. You know, a lot of us know Apple, we can't go anywhere without seeing Apple. We know the story of Apple. Every 6 weeks, they put out a new phone, right? You know, and this week it didn't get bigger, it got smaller. And so there'll be people waiting in line to get their Apple products. And a lot of us know Apple because we have the iPhones, or use a Macintosh computer, or we have an iPad. I mean, our lives have been utterly changed. The world has been transformed by Apple computers. And it all began with this guy in his garage by the name of Steve Jobs. You know his story. This guy was an incredible inventor and great salesman, innovator. I mean, just saw technology. He was able to design beautiful, simple technology that we love to use. And like I said, it literally has changed our world. Apple Computers is the wealthiest company on the planet. And this guy by the name Steve Jobs kind of just pioneered all of this. And literally, Apple has changed the world, changed the way we do things. And if you know Steve Jobs' story, you know that he came down with pancreatic cancer. And he was given a terminal diagnosis. And literally at the end of his life, I mean, this guy was a lifelong Buddhist. But at the end of his life, he began to question a lot of things, began to really ask some deeper and deeper questions. And he was talking to his autobiographer, and listen to what he says. "Sometimes I believe in God, but sometimes I don't. I think it's a 50-50 thing, maybe. But ever since I've had cancer, I've been thinking about it more and more. And I find myself believing it a bit more. Maybe it's because I want to believe in an afterlife, that when you die, it just doesn't all disappear. Yeah, but sometimes I think it's just like an on and off switch. Click, and then you're gone." You know, maybe you're here today and you're not sure about God. You're not sure about Jesus. You're not sure about the resurrection story. For you, it might be a 50-50 thing. Let me just tell you, when I made a decision for Jesus Christ, when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, my world changed radically. I was given a peace that surpasses all understanding. I was given a peace I never experienced before in my life. I was given friends. I was given a community. I was given a purpose. I was given a mission. I was given a vision for my life. I was given a vision for my future. And most of all, I was given grace. Grace. So what is Easter all about? It's answering that question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Easter for me is no longer about candy. It's about the fact that I get to celebrate the resurrected Jesus Christ. The fact that he is not dead, he is alive, he is waiting in heaven. He has got a place prepared for me there. And because of his resurrection, I get to experience a new life. I get to live in a new hope. And so the question is to you, do you believe this? Listen, I know you might be thinking, is it just an on and off switch? Click, and then you're gone? Jesus says, no. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in me, you will never die. You will live forever. Do you believe this? Church, would you stand with me? Let's pray together. Jesus, we humbly come before you. Before we even open our mouths, you know the words that are about to come out. You know the cry of our heart. You know the pain in our hearts. You know the struggles in our hearts. You know the questions and doubts in our hearts. And so right now, I pray for clarity, that your spirit would give us confidence. Your spirit would give us a sense of courage to step out in faith and to say, yes, I believe in this. I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died, and I believe he rose again. And I believe he is in heaven waiting for me. I just pray for anyone in this room who might be struggling with that decision. Eternity is hanging in the balance. Forever is hanging in the balance. Do you believe this? Jesus, thank you for the grace you've shown us. Thank you for the forgiveness and the mercy and the new life that you've promised to us who believe in you. Believe in you, and we will live forever. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. And thank you for the truth and the message of Easter. Jesus, you're not dead, but you're alive. And I believe. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's give it up for Jesus this morning. Woo! Amen. Do you believe this? Listen, I want every single person in this room to know that grace is available for you. And maybe in life you know pain. Maybe in life you know suffering. Maybe in life you know frustration. Maybe in life you know isolation. Listen, I want you to know that grace is available to you. And sometimes, like when I was a kid and I bit into that chocolate Easter bunny and I was frustrated because it was hollow. Sometimes we approach things in life just like that. We dive into relationships, that guy or that girl, and we think that's going to solve all of our problems. That's going to give us meaning in life. And so we dive into those relationships, and they're just not enough. They're hollow. Or maybe we dive into our careers. We dive into building our bank accounts up bigger and bigger. And so we spend all of our time and all of our effort and energy thinking that's going to fill the hole in our heart. And then we realize it's not enough. It's hollow. Or maybe it's that next possession. The next thing that you have to have, the next item you gotta get, the next iPhone that comes out, you gotta have it, and you're not happy until you get it. So you throw yourself into those things thinking that is gonna give you happiness and meaning and fulfillment in life, and it's not enough. It's hollow. And you know the frustration of biting into something and realizing that it's just hollow. Listen, you and I were designed by our Creator, God above, with a hole in our soul that can only be filled by Him. You can try to push everything in there that you want, but it will never satisfy. It will never complete you. It will never make you feel whole. You can try love. You can try friendships and stuff and money and jobs and careers. You can try all that stuff, but it's never going to work. God wants you to pursue Him, to want Him, to worship Him. He wants to fill that hole in your life. And so the question is here today, do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus died and that He rose again and that He is in heaven waiting for you? Do you believe this? And maybe you never made that decision. Maybe you never really thought about it. Or maybe you've never been challenged on it. But today, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision of faith in your life here today. And it's just as easy as A, B, C, and D. You got to accept. Except the fact that you're not enough, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not rich enough to earn your way, buy your way, serve your way, work your way into heaven. That you humble yourself and say, I'm not enough. I'm just a broken down sinner in need of Jesus Christ. And you got to believe that He is who He says He is, that He is the Son of God, and that He died with a perfect life. He paid the price for our sins, but then He rose again. You got to believe that He is who He says He is. And then see, confess with your life and with your mouth that He is your all in all, that He is your Savior, that you don't want to do another day of your life without Him leading your life. You need Him. You need the faith you have in Him as the bedrock of your life. And then demonstrate what He's doing in your heart and your life by moving towards an act of baptism, by following through this decision and showing what God is doing inside, by following Jesus' example, the disciples' example, the church's example, and being baptized. So maybe you're here today on this Easter, and this is the Easter where you're going to settle it. Just like David from the first service. He said, it's been 20 years in the making, and today was the day that I made a decision for Jesus Christ. Today was the day I answered that question once and for all, that I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and He is alive. And so here today is a chance for you to make that decision. Maybe you never made the decision. You can do that here in just a moment. Maybe you want to rededicate your life. You've been walking a certain direction. It's time to turn around. Or maybe today, just maybe today, you've been putting off that baptism thing. You know you need to do it. You know you should do it. You've been putting off. Man, today is a day to demonstrate what God is doing in your life. And join 8, 9 others who've already done this today and give your life to Christ and be baptized. So we're going to sing one last song here together and give you an opportunity to make this decision. Our decision team will come down during this song. And trust me, I know it's intimidating with a room this size. You're going, man, I don't want people to look at me. Listen, if people walk down, we're going to celebrate, church. We're going to clap. We're going to be excited because they're making the greatest decision of their life, a decision that's going to shape their eternity. And so we're going to celebrate today. So don't be shy. Don't be bashful. Today is the day you settle this question, the Easter question. Do you believe this? So on the count of three, we're going to do this. 1, this is your day. 2, only you can make this decision. 3, let's sing and worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you want to make a decision, come on down right now.
Son was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon.
Doing this place. Do you believe he's alive? We love you guys so much. We just pray y'all have an amazing Easter. Y'all be safe heading out of here. And much love to you guys. Enjoy it. We'll see you back here next week.